and I give the floor to the representative of the Russian Federation.
Mr. President, there is certain symbolism in the fact that it was our British colleagues presiding over the Security Council this month who forced through the meeting today, timing it to coincide to 1,000-day mark since the Ukrainian crisis reached a hot phase. We had once again an opportunity to see that for you and your colleagues, this is nothing more than just a good media opportunity to demonize Russia, to place trite labels on it, the kinds of labels that your statements by Western colleagues predictably teamed with. And in your country, UK, Russophobia has long before 2022 made Russophobia a state policy. Please allow me to remind you that whilst preparing to the meeting today, you missed yet another media opportunity, and it has a much more importance in the context of the Ukrainian crisis than the date you chose. Last Friday, on the 15th of November, was exactly 950 days since the moment the former Prime Minister of the UK, Boris Johnson, visited Kiev. There, he, and we know that for a fact now, dissuaded the head of the Kiev regime from signing a Istanbul peace agreement with Russia, which had already been initialized. That would have stopped the hostilities. At the time, we were very close to it. And as a goodwill gesture, Russia even withdrew its troops from the north of Ukraine, in particular from areas near Kiev. In other words, 50 days after the start of the special military operation, where the losses among the Ukrainian armed forces were not yet that significant, the hostilities had every chance of ending if it hadn't been for the interference of the British Prime Minister, who convinced Zelensky that he should continue fighting, that he would have Western support and weaponry, and he will thus be able to inflict strategic defeat on Russia. And the British Prime Minister and his accomplices were very much interested in such defeat. And so as to explain this kind of shift to the Ukrainian public opinion, the British Special Forces and mass media participated in staging a crude provocation in Bucha. There, after the Russian forces' withdrawal, people's corpses were brought and arranged on the streets there. And the origin, the real reason for death, no one bothered to explain to us despite the fact that we asked for it several times. In other words, it turns out that the UK pushed the Kiev regime towards its inevitable defeat, precipitating its choice for confrontation with Russia and continuing. And I think that Ukraine will long remember the fact that it's because of these actions on the part of your country. Ukraine today is in a terrible economic state, that it lost most of its army and materiel, and also lost at least four of its regions, in addition to what was lost in 2014 when Crimea left Ukraine. Ukrainians have long stopped wanting to fight. What a volunteer looks like, the Ukrainian army has not known for 2 years now. The Kiev regime banned man's leaving from a country, and they're catching those people who are evading the draft on the streets using firearms. And they're throwing these people into a senseless meat grinder. The eastern front of the Ukrainian armed forces in Donbas is collapsing. You know very well what the rate of the progress of our army is, and the Zelensky regime, whilst trying to keep Western support, undertook a senseless incursion into the Kursk Oblast, tried to capture and mine the Kursk NPP, and this resulted in the loss of tens of thousands of troops. This misadventure was a fatal error and accelerated the Ukrainian defeat, and they will not be spared from that defeat, no matter what kind of Western weaponry they're given. The initiators of the meeting today, as a matter of transparency, should have told us about the astronomical profits the UK received over the 3 years of military support to Ukraine. How, on the blood and tragedy of Ukrainians, your arms manufacturers became wealthy and your defense ministry used up its old material, which had to be disposed of in any event. And also, it would have been good if you had told us about the corruption accompanying this and the scale of that corruption, something we can only guess The Ukrainian mass media themselves are saying that after Donald Trump's election victory, there was a panic amongst Ukrainian elite. And not because the United States can revise the assistance to Ukraine, but because the new administration would want to take a look at all of the monies that had been sent to Ukraine and conduct a full audit of the assistance already provided. This scenario, as being said by the Ukrainian experts, is far more frightening for Zelensky because a considerable share of assistance is stolen or pocketed by the expired Ukrainian president and his entourage. Take into account that the amount of just military assistance by UK since 2022 are in the amount of $9.7 billion. Given that, we can say that your contribution to the corruption in Ukraine was certainly made by your country as well. We'll probably not end up seeing any kind of an investigation by British authorities, because in such cases, what is important in investigation is to make sure you don't end up accusing yourself. Mr. President, for those who know the history of the UK, the country, the history of your country, it's a long-term interference in Ukraine, which culminated in the actions I just mentioned. This has not been a revelation. Pitting neighbors against each other, sowing discord between peoples and countries, and then supporting one against each other is something the UK relished doing very well for centuries. All of your former colonies can tell about this in colorful detail. By the way, out of 193 UN member states, only 22 can boast that their territory has never been invaded by or fought with the Great Britain. And my country is not an exception here. Last such invasion was a British intervention following the revolution of 1917, when there were attempts to tear Russia apart by various predators and vultures. But we prevailed, we went through the hardship, grew stronger, and now are fighting another indirect intervention by the members of NATO who are fighting Russia in Ukraine, and this includes UK. This is how one views not only the continued pumping of the Kiev regime with weapons and intelligence, but also the presence of British instructors and mercenaries, hundreds of them already eliminated, and the attempts to bring to Ukraine by British specialists of UAV, missile, and sea drone manufacturing. We understand that the UK in the 21st century also finds it very difficult to leave Ukraine and Russia alone, because the DNA of those colonizers who wreaked havoc in Asia, Africa, in Europe for centuries are very well in you. We know that the British Empire brutally put down the resistance of its colonies in hundreds of years, used forced assimilation, racial discrimination, forgetting about human values and the rights of peoples. The peaceful citizens of colonized countries paid with their life and freedom for the imperial ambitions. Suffice it to recall the ethnic cleansing in Ireland, where out of 1.5 million people, only 850,000 were left after the British conquest. During the Second Boer War, at the turn of the 20th century, it was the English who first invented concentration camps. They drove civilians there to make sure they wouldn't help the Boer army. How many people perished there? Nobody knows, because the British didn't count the indigenous people as human and didn't document their losses amongst the Africans. We do know, though, that in Kenya, after the Mau Mau rebellion, there were mass prosecutions. 300,000 people died, 1.5 million put into camps and made into slaves. And in India, where during the period of British colonialism was done enormous damage, a famine was engineered as a result of which 15 to 29 million people died. The consequences of the actions of the former colonizers are something that can be felt in the world to date. And even though colonial empires are a thing of the past, the old methods, pressure, manipulation, interference, continue being used in new ways. Britain is not an exception here. It's rather a trendsetter. And today, through their phantom pains for the empire, over which the sun never used to set, longing for a lost dominion, they're using together with their like-minded Franco-Saxon friends blackmail, sanctions, overthrows out of favor regimes through color revolutions, and one victim of such revolution was Ukraine in 2014. And I'm saying all of this to show that there is no moral right to accuse or blame my country. It doesn't exist. When we set ourselves the goal of getting rid of the neo-nationalists and neo-Nazi hornet's nest in our borders, there's no such right until such time as the threat emanating from it, including the absorption of Ukraine by NATO, are not removed, until there's discrimination of Russian-speaking peoples because of their faith in history, until Ukraine continues whitewashing, glorifying Hitler's accomplices, until such time our special operation will continue. Its goals will be implemented in any event, diplomatically or militarily, regardless of whatever peace plans and schemes are being developed in the West in the interest of saving the actor entertainment actor Zelensky and his clique. And independently of the militarist agony of democratic administration, which has suffered a humiliating defeat in presidential election, lost the trust of most of its population, is now issuing, according to the mass media, suicidal permissions to Zelensky to use long-range weapons to strike inside Russia. Perhaps Joe Biden, for many reasons, has nothing left to lose, but we're astounded by the short-sighted of the leadership of UK and France. They are eager to play into the hands of the exiting administration and are dragging not just their countries but the entire Europe into large-scale escalation with drastic consequences. And that is what our former Western countries should think very hard about. Also, those who start thinking about freezing the front lines need to think about freezing the front lines along the Minsk agreements rejected by Ukraine and its Western mentors. Don't waste your time. We no longer have any confidence in that. We will only accept the kind of decision which removes the root causes of the crisis and will not allow it to happen again. As for defeating Russia on the battlefield, I suggest that you abandon this idea. Europe has tried this several times, and the outcome of each such attempt is well known to you. I thank you.
I note the statement from the representative of the Russian Federation. In my national capacity, I don't propose to dignify that statement with any kind of response, other than to note that it was a series of lies, misinformation, and deflection. I will allow Ukraine to speak for itself in terms of its own actions in this conflict.
I ask the Russian representative, in all conscience, sitting there on his phone, how many more Sudanese have to be killed? Shame on Putin for waging a war of aggression in Ukraine. Shame on Putin for using his mercenaries to spread conflict and violence across the African continent. And shame on Putin for pretending to be a partner of the global south while condemning black Africans to further killing. Let me be clear. I will not stop calling for more action to protect the people of Sudan. I will not stop calling for more aid. I will not stop working with our partners in Africa and around the world to help. The UK will not forget Sudan. The 9,786th meeting of the Security Council is resumed. In accordance with Rule 37 of the Council's Provisional Rules of Procedure, I invite the representative of Sudan to participate in the meeting. It is so decided. Consideration of item 2 of the agenda. The Security Council will now begin its consideration of item 2 of the agenda. Members of the Council have before them document S 2024/826, the text of a draft resolution submitted by Sierra Leone and the United Kingdom of Great Britain and Northern Ireland. The Council is ready to proceed to the vote of the draft resolution before it. I shall put the draft resolution to the vote now. Will those in favour of the draft resolution contained in document S2024/826 please raise their hand? Those against? The result of the voting is as follows. 14 votes in favour, 1 vote against, 0 abstentions. On resolution 2761, 2024, then, the draft resolution has not been adopted owing to the negative vote of a permanent member of the council. I now give the floor to those members of the council who wish to make statements after the vote. I shall now make a statement in my capacity as the Secretary of State for Foreign and Commonwealth Development Affairs of the United Kingdom. For over 18 months, Sudanese civilians have endured unimaginable violence. We've seen and heard the testimony, atrocities driven by ethnic hatred, sexual violence, including mass rape, children abducted and recruited as soldiers in this horror, aid workers attacked, essential supplies blocked, homes, schools, hospitals destroyed and looted. This suffering is a scar on the collective conscience, on a scale that's frankly hard to comprehend. In the face of this horror, the United Kingdom and Sierra Leone, working in partnership, sought to bring this council together to address this humanitarian emergency and catastrophe, to protect civilians, to ensure aid access, to call for a ceasefire. One country stood in the way of the council speaking with one voice. One country is the blocker. One country is the enemy of peace. This Russian veto is a disgrace, and it shows to the world yet again Russia's true colours. Shame on Putin for waging a war of aggression in Ukraine. Shame on Putin for using his mercenaries to spread conflict and violence across the African continent. And shame on Putin for pretending to be a partner of the global south while condemning black Africans to further killing, further rape, further starvation in a brutal war. I ask the Russian representative, in all conscience, sitting there on his phone, how many more Sudanese have to be killed? How many more women have to be raped? How many more children have to go without food before Russia will act? Russia will have to explain itself to the entire United Nations membership now. While Britain doubles aid, Russia blocks aid access. While Britain works with our African partners, Russia vetoes their will. We tabled this resolution to show the Sudanese people and the world that they are not forgotten. This text would have called on parties to agree humanitarian pauses, to ensure the safe passage and get aid to where it's needed. It would have galvanised support to local groups who are taking unimaginable risks to protect their communities. And it would have increased pressure on the warring parties to agree a ceasefire by supporting mediation efforts. Mean, nasty and cynical, Russians' veto today sends a message to the warring parties that they can now act with impunity, that they can ignore their commitments and responsibilities to protect their own people. Let me be clear. I will not stop calling for more action to protect the people of Sudan. I will not stop calling for more aid. I will not stop working with our partners in Africa and around the world to help. The UK will not forget Sudan. I resume my function as President of the Council